Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Rules to order. We have several dignitaries in the audience, so I'm going to shuffle around a little bit. I'm going to start off by opening a public hearing on SCR 17 for the purpose of hearing Senator Gelser, and then we'll recess that and move to our next bill. So we'll open a public hearing on SCR 17.
Should I bring the coach with me or leave him behind?
Just you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. For your record, my name is Sarah Gelser. I am the state senator from Beaver Nation. And I am here today to bring you SCR 17, which celebrates Oregon State Beaver basketball that happens to be played by women and is known as Beaver basketball. Our team in Corvallis is pretty extraordinary and has had two really phenomenal seasons. And for those of us that live in the community, those of us that identify as Beavers, and those of us that love basketball, these women and their team have become a very significant source of pride. This is the second year in a row that the basketball team has advanced to the Sweet 16, and in 15, 16, and 17, the team has won the Pac-12 regular season championship, which has been pretty extraordinary. I had the opportunity to be there in February when the team set a program record for single game attendance. They played against Stanford, and it was a sold-out crowd of 9,604 fans. One of the things that I especially appreciated at one of the games of the season, they were interviewing the players on a video that ran during halftime. They talked about why did they choose to come to Corvallis, and one of the reasons cited was the tremendous support from the community. And if you live in my community and the Beavers are playing, Women Beavers, that is where you are. That there is no place else to be in Corvallis except for at the basketball team. So you'll hear from others a little later today. You can read the resolution about the individual achievements, but really it is a source of community pride. It should be a source of state pride. These are tremendous athletes. It's a wonderful program that is really raising up great leaders and role models for young women and young men all across the state, and I would urge your support.
Thank you. Questions for Senator Gelser? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will recess the public hearing on SCR 17 and open a public hearing on SCR 15, which we will run to its conclusion. Welcome, Senator Winters.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, and members of the committee.
Senator Winters, if you could step away from that microphone. It's not like
it's not like the Ways and Means microphone.
It's so
you're not going to cut my budget?
It is so much it is so much more sensitive than Ways and Means, Senator Winters.
Thank you for the record. I'm Senator Jackie Winters from District 10. And it's my deepest respect that I speak on behalf of SCR 15, which memorializes the life of the late Dolores Hewitt Atiyia, who was for 70 years until his death, the loving wife of our late Governor Victor Atiyia. Dolores served as Oregon's First Lady from 1979 to 1987 with a quiet dignity and grace that fully supported and reflected her husband's impeccable style. In those days, there was no resident in Salem set aside for the governor and his family. You moved your family in to whatever appropriate rental accommodations you could find, bringing your personal china and linen in addition to the requisite wardrobe and pieces of art that would define your image and style while he served. Yes, it was her silver, her crystal, her dishes, and her furniture, and their rental payment for where they lived was $525 a month. One of my fondest memories of the elegant lady was when Pat Amadeo and I were requested to accompany the governor and the first lady in 1979 to the National Republican Governors Conference in Austin, Texas. Dolores Atiyah was someone whose poise and grace were as natural as Oregon's rain, and she was entirely at ease in any situation. We arrived in Austin to find individual limousines waiting to take us to our hotel. Of course, this was Texas. Why wouldn't there be limousines? The elegance of every event was overwhelming in comparison to the way things were presented in Oregon. As one of her aides, how I admired her, as she, our lovely first lady, on the arms of a handsome husband, both in their formal attire, proceeded through the military arch of sabers as they entered the room. From that time forward, my memories of Dolores Atiyah remained indelible. She was a sincere, authentic, and unflappable supporter of Oregon and of everything her husband did. While she didn't revel in all of the political obligations, her passion for young people and promotion of child safety legislation, as well as her boundless love for her family and friends, will long be remembered. Colleagues, I'm very honored to present to you SCR 15th. Her family is here behind me, and I know that they will also share comments of, you know, one who we've learned to love, and that's the First Lady of Oregon, Dolores Atiyah. And I just ask for your support. And as you know, I was the ombudsman during those first years of Governor Atiyah's term. And this, as I said, that I shared with you, one of the events that has stayed with me all these years.
Thank you for those lovely comments. Questions from the panel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not really a question, more of a sharing of a memory. Dolores, of course, was the wind under the wings of the governor. He said it frequently. He and I laughed often when we met because we both married significantly over our station in life, which is something I share with some of my male colleagues, even on this committee. The interesting part of Dolores was her approachability and her accessibility as a person. She loved people, and it was no more clearly demonstrated to me than the annual event that we attended together frequently, which was the governor's dinner at the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs. She was, along with Governor Atiyah, considered to be elders of the tribe. They together were presented with numerous honors and awards. I think the chief's headdress that Governor Atiyah was presented with, which has been since returned to the tribe by the family, spoke volumes about their respect, but no less their love for Dolores, who, in fact, during lean years of their first associations while he was governor, brought food baskets, helped children get winter clothing, really did personal outreach in a way that indicated to me she was acting beyond her role as First Lady and as a mother to many of the children of the tribes, their friends, who became their lifelong friends. And the warmth with which that couple was received annually and every time they appeared at any tribal event just spoke volumes about her as a person and the governor. So I just wanted to make mention. I did not see that mentioned, and I hope the family mentions their relationship with Oregon's treaty tribes. It was extraordinary.
Thank you,
Madam
Senator.
Chair, for that moment.
Thank you for that.
And Madam Chair, thank you, Senator, for mentioning that. The last official event that I attended with the governor and Mrs. Atiyah was actually the Pump Shed Warm Springs, and that was just shortly before the passing of Governor Atiyah. If you visit my office, you know I have the last photo with Governor Atiyah that's taken with any of the members of the staff that was on his staff, and that was at that particular event. But the two of them were together. You know, when you saw Governor Attia, you saw Mrs. Attia. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you, Senator Winters. Okay. Now we'll have Fred Neal from the Oregon Capital Foundation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Fred Neal, immediate past chair, current secretary of the Oregon State Capital Foundation. I have several former members and present members on the before me. I'm going to be brief. It was simply an honor and a pleasure for the foundation to sponsor this piece of legislation, to write it, and we're very pleased that you have it before you. And it's, as you know, our legislative charge is to enhance and preserve the history, enhance the building and preserve the history of the Capitol, and is very fitting that you have before you two resolutions this afternoon that honor the two very formidable and charming and forceful first ladies. I have fond memories of both of them myself, as do many, and I will simply commend SCR 15 to you today in honor of Dolores Attia. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we'll have a panel, Chad Hawkins, Tom Attia, and Megan Attia.
Chair Burdick and members of the committee, my name is Tom Attia. I'm the son of Governor Victor Attia and First Lady Dolores Hewitt Attia. I wish to thank Senate President Courtney and Senator Winters for sponsoring this resolution, and the Oregon State Capitol Foundation for facilitation. Members of the committee, I understand there is a similar Senate concurrent resolution for Pat Straub, and I applaud this and reflect upon an era where we all work for the best interest of Oregon. The Attia family became part of Oregon in 1900, and 58 years later, the son of a Syrian immigrant was elected to the Oregon House of Representatives, beginning his first term in Oregon's centennial year of 1959. The Hewitt family came to Oregon after World War I, and my grandfather established mining claims in the North Fork of the Santa Ana. In 1996, through the direction of Senator Mark Hatfield, these mining claims became part of the 35,000-acre Opal Creek Wilderness and Scenic Recreation Area. Dolores Hewitt Attia was certainly not lacking for participation in Oregon's history and future, but her main task was keeping my sister and I under tow during those early years, and that was no easy task. As you can see by the many accolades, she was an advocate, volunteer, and board member of numerous arts, philanthropic, and cultural organizations. One of these organizations, the Historic Preservation League of Oregon, was keen interest to my mom. HPLO was founded just 2 years before Governor Attia's first term, and my mom served as an advisor, particularly when she found marble remnants of the old state capitol in Mill Creek near their residence on Winter Street. And I say residence loosely because those were the days before Mahonia Hall, and the residence was a house converted to a state office building and then back to a house. There was little budget for hosting or entertaining, but she did the best with what she had. Although I followed my dad's business in the sales of hand-knotted rugs, in recent years I've been active in Oregon's nonprofit community. In 2013, I was hired to become the Chief Development Officer of the Historic Preservation League of Oregon. HPLO was a mouthful, so we rebranded to Restore Oregon. And I applied my mother's enthusiasm to statewide initiatives. In the 2015 legislative session, Restore Oregon promoted Senate Bill 565 and the Revitalized Main Street Act. It is a pleasure to expand upon my mother's interest almost 40 years later. And I also like the momentum creating organizations advocating for the preservation of Oregon's historical buildings, many of which are at risk due to unreinforced masonry construction. Dolores Hewitt Attia was a remarkable woman in her vision for Oregon and Oregon's family well-being. I thank the Rules Committee for your valuable time by moving Senate Concurrent Resolution 15 forward and applaud the 79th legislative session for their numerous consideration. And unless you have any questions, I'll yield my time to my daughter, Megan.
Great. Welcome, Megan.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. Thank you for this honor and opportunity to testify. My name is Megan Atia, and I am the oldest of Dolores and Victor's five grandchildren. Also here today are Cody and his wife Ashley and Sonia and her husband Chad, who will speak after me. For 15 years, I've worked for the Oregon Arts Commission, which is in the State Lands Building, just next to the Stiff Jarman House that's been mentioned already twice. Most days I'm able to walk by that house where we had family holidays and watch Dolores' favorite magnolia tree bloom in the backyard. I think that so many of us mentioned this house where the McCalls lived before Dolores and Victor because it is a fitting metaphor for my grandparents, strong, graceful, and humble. And that is how I remember Dolores. As this resolution attests to, you recognize the spirit and tirelessness she gave to her civic interests in arts and heritage and youth, among other causes. She and Victor were some of the most patient and unassuming people I have known. They were consummately accessible, as Vice Chair Ferrioli mentions. Each summer, they took me to the state fair when I was growing up. I remember rabbits and goats, of course, but I also remember as a child moving at a pace of about 2 feet every half hour because of all the fairgoers coming up to talk to them both and their willingness to talk as long as it was asked of them. But what I really wanted to tell today was one of Victor's favorite stories when he wanted to poke fun at Dolores. One evening at the dinner table, the story goes, Dolores asked Victor how his day was. Victor said, great, I played in a celebrity golf tournament. Dolores replied, marvelous, who was your celebrity? I was the celebrity. never letting him get too big ahead. Thank you for acknowledging strong women in the home, workplace, and civic life.
Thank you. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. My name is Chad Hawkins, husband to Sonia Atia Hawkins, who's the granddaughter of former Governor Atia and his wife, Dolores. Sonia and I are here to show support for SCR 15 and to recognize a truly inspirational person in Dolores. Dolores' acknowledgement here speaks volumes about the impact that this wonderful woman had on all who knew her and the state of Oregon. Dolores accomplished so much over the years through the eyes of the public. She was a volunteer with numerous organizations, with a dedicated advocate, and was a dedicated advocate for children and young adults, and supported safety through immunizations and seatbelt laws. In her personal life, however, she was artistic and a perfectionist in her many crafts she mastered over the years. She shared these crafts with her grandchildren and regularly encouraged them to learn a variety of skills. She taught them how to make things with their own hands, to sew, to cook, and to never let anything go to waste or remain unmended. In addition to all this, she valued every arena of study, from music to science. She always wanted to be learning. She worked hard to pay for her own college education on her own, and one of her things she said is, you can never regret your education. Your education is something no one can take away from you. She studied art among many artistic mediums and was especially a talented painter. Whether they were ornately painted pictures, jewelry boxes, or rocking chairs, they were all perfectly done and with superior attention to detail. She and Vic shared an appreciation for history as well. She enjoyed reading about the pioneers who settled in Oregon and the history of the tribes in Oregon, as mentioned earlier. She enjoyed, as a hobby, she made a study of her ancestry and traced family back to the Revolutionary War. She had a keen memory for detail and knew not only of her own family history, but that of Vic's. She also made Victor's family traditions her own and was a fantastic cook of Syrian food, which she passed on to my wife, Sonia, which I'm truly grateful for, as I had never had hummus or Middle Eastern food, and now I'm addicted and couldn't go without it. So. When I met Dolores nearly 10 years ago, she amazed me the first time I met her. She was sharp as a tack and with a wit to match my own, which says a lot. She had a sharp sense of humor and an amazing memory. She was able to discuss fire equipment and emergency responses I had been on. As being a firefighter from California, she would always inquire, you know, the details on the fire equipment and the responses I had been on and what I did, and down to little details, and she would always remember them. She attributed her memory to listening to the workers at the mine where she lived as a little girl, discussing the mining equipment. Victor, on the other hand, wanted to know if I had used the lights and sirens lately and how fast I went to the call, like a bright-eyed little boy who had never seen a fire engine before. When he passed away, I made sure that he had the proper send-off with fire trucks and police cars, of course, with their lights going, and Dolores was happy with that. She shared a passion for the state of Oregon with Vic. She would always talk of the natural beauty of Oregon, the forest, the coast, the kindness of the people. When we lived in California, Sonia and I would often visit Oregon, and each time we would visit, Dolores would say, "You know, Oregon is a great place to call home." It is truly a great honor for Dolores to be recognized by the state today, by the state she loves so dearly. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions or comments from the panel?
Madam Chair,
thank
you for sharing your family history and about these two great Oregonians, and particularly Dolores.
I love the dinner party story. I knew him, and I could just see that happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to testify on this SCR 15? Okay, I will close the work session, the public hearing on SCR 15, and open a work session on SCR 15. Senator Perioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 15 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Perioli has moved SCR 15 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion?
None.
Any objection? So ordered. And we will ask Senator Winters to carry this on the Senate floor. Thank you all for coming. Okay, now we will open a public hearing on SCR 16. Sheree.
Madam Chair and members, Senate Concurrent Resolution 16 expresses the Legislative Assembly's deep respect and gratitude for Pat Straub's commitment and support as a partner to Governor Bob Straub and dedication as a public servant working toward a better Oregon. There are no amendments being offered in association with this measure, and there is no fiscal revenue impact associated with this measure as well.
Okay, great. We will invite, let's see, what do we have here? Rick,
looks like they went all four together.
All four together?
In there, ma'am. We can't get any more up there.
One, two, three, four. I have four, five. Okay. We will have these four testify. Please identify yourself.
Good bipartisan decision, ma'am. Just like both these individuals.
Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick and Vice Chair Farrelly and members of the committee. My name is Jim Straub. I'm the grandson of Pat Straub and the designated family member to speak to you guys today. Typical Straub fashion, I will be short on with my words. I would like to ask that the family members rise in the back to show you the sons, the daughters, and granddaughters that have attended today in support of this measure. Wow. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee, and thank you so much for coming.
Welcome. Thank you. The only thing I'd like to share with you, and others here will tell you stories of her impact, is as a child, I grew up with my grandfather in office and wandered the halls, probably terrorized the halls and explored all the crevices and nooks and crannies. But one of the things, the impactful things that was meaningful to me is over the times that I saw my grandmother, Pat, she was a very skilled negotiator. And while my grandfather was credited with a lot of impactful legislation that benefited the state and the environment, a lot of that came to be in dinners and lunches where my grandmother would practice her art of negotiation. And that was a skill that I've learned and carried through to this day, is I would see her introduce an idea to my grandfather over the table, and she would talk about it. And if she didn't get the response she wanted, she wouldn't keep pushing. She would back away, regroup, come back a few minutes later with a completely different response. And she was tenacious. She would not give up, and she would wear him down over time. So, you know, the beach bill, the bottle bill, I mean, all these things typically originated with my grandmother insisting that he not forget about them and that he pursue them and that he was educated on all the impacts and the benefit to Oregon. So thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
I'm Chuck Johnson, and I wrote a biography of former Governor Bob Straub.
Back up from the mic just a little bit.
I'll eat the mic a little more.
No, back.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Way back.
All right. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew Bob and Pat growing up because my father was an aide to Bob, starting, I think, back in when he was in the Senate. He worked for the Democratic caucus, and Bob had just become a state senator back in 1959, so goes back quite a long way. And he worked for him when he was state treasurer and managed his two unsuccessful campaigns against Tom McCall, and we all suffered through those, but eventually many good things came from that rivalry, and so we can take some consolement from that. Pat Straub had a remarkable life and was a strong influence on her family, her husband, and the adopted state of Oregon. She was born in Villanova, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Philadelphia, and from an extremely wealthy family, and lived the life of a debutante, attended Smith College, and one fateful day met Bob Straub on a trail on Mount Moosalock in New Hampshire, where she was leading a group of girls from a camp where she was a camp counselor. And he was working at a hut run by Dartmouth College on top of this mountain. And they became friends. They stayed in touch over the years. Pat at first wasn't sure. Bob was a rather shy person. She wasn't sure how he really felt about her. But when he was called to service in World War II, he became very serious suddenly and called her on the phone, asked a proposed marriage, and she came down to San Antonio and married him about 2 weeks after that. So, and it was a partnership that worked beautifully for how many years? 50 plus years until Bob's death. They when after the war, they moved to New Hampshire, and Pat began to get a taste of what her new life might look like. They used a truck to move her furniture. She'd inherited some furniture up to Dartmouth, and Bob was somebody who was very practical. He decided that this truck he could now use also to haul things for other people there, and he ended up hauling garbage. I think he was the only master's student at Dartmouth who was also a garbage hauler. So this was a little different experience than what she'd grown up with, but she rolled with it beautifully, and they moved to Springfield for Bob took a job with Weyerhaeuser, moved into first a trailer park and then a country house that he was building around his family there. So, and she was running the household and growing a garden, learning organic gardening from scratch. This was quite remarkable when you consider her upbringing. This was like a completely different world that she had stepped into, and she did it with a lot of grace and a lot of strength. As time went on, Bob moved on from Weyerhaeuser to a successful career as a home builder and then into political life. And Pat more or less put up with politics with Bob. She wasn't enthusiastic personally, but she believed in him. She was totally enthusiastic about him, but in terms of her own participation, even though, as Jim said, she had skills, personal skills that were quite strong, she had zero interest in personally being involved as the front person. But she supported Bob entirely, and as Jim said, influenced him greatly. When Bob was governor, she was a very immensely popular and influential first lady. As I said, working on environmental issues and advocating for organic gardening. She wrote a book called From the Loving Earth that was a guide to organic gardening. And she was involved in organic gardening starting in the late 40s and early 50s. So she was in on the ground floor and was a true believer that it was a more sustainable and better way to do agriculture. She was the first lady when they established the Governor's Cup run and had a monthly column published statewide while Bob was governor. And after he left the governorship, she continued to entertain at the Straub Farmhouse in West Salem in support of Democrats and causes such as the Garten Foundation that they believed in, and until Bob's illness with Alzheimer's no longer allowed that. And she continued as the charming family elder, avid reader, sometimes painter, living in Eugene until peacefully passing this past year. And I just can say from my own personal experience and from the experience of everyone who met her, she was an utterly charming woman and just a beautiful person to know. Thank you.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, my name is Rick Bastash. I am the president of the Straub Environmental Center Board of Directors, and with me is
Catherine Alexander, Executive Director of the Straub Environmental Center.
So the Straub Environmental Center Board of Directors is very pleased to be able to wholeheartedly support the Pat Straub Memorial SCR 16. We're a Salem-based nonprofit that offers environmental education through summer camps, field trips, talks, summer adventure programs, and more. And our goal is pretty simple. It's to get our community, kids, families, out into nature. And we draw that inspiration in no small part from the examples of Governor Bob Straub and Pat, who were so well known for their love of Oregon and their efforts to preserve its natural beauty. And we hope we're promoting this spirit by fostering public awareness of natural resources and cultural history in the Willamette Valley. When we began in 2004, some of our founding members were fortunate enough to be able to visit with Pat, who very typically and kindly allowed use of the family name for our new organization. And since then, we've always been proud to serve our community under the names of Bob and Pat Straub.
As we've come to know the Straub family and learn more about their family's history, we've become aware of the profound and anchoring influence that Pat had on Oregon's environmental trajectory. How she, in the words of the memoriam, not only served as the environmental advocate for the governor, but also carried the environmentalist banner proudly herself, and I would say the conservationist banner proudly herself. We felt and feel a special resonance when we learned that she and Bob met when she was leading that mountain hike on that mountain of young summer campers, because we do this too. We get kids outside, so we carry her spirit with us. And she and her family thrived on hiking, swimming, and rafting. We promote this as well as keys to community health and physical health. And that she became a landscape painter, and we honor and promote art as a way to express nature and natural science learning. So it seems that Pat's example has been one of our guiding lights in every way that her husband's civic service was. And we fully appreciate the richness of her spirit. We know it will inspire us to find ways, as she did, to nurture the garden of environmentally aware and appreciative Oregonians. When she passed this last fall, a group of us at the Straub Environmental Center and Jim Straub had the honor and pleasure of going to Pennsylvania to visit her family farm and the Stroud Water Research Institute that her family helped found. And what we learned is that This wasn't skin deep for her. This wasn't just an Oregonian thing, that she developed her conservationist and organic gardening interests when she moved to Oregon. This was really family roots deep. She was steeped in it. Her family also embraces the land stewardship ethic that she does. And it was wonderful to be able to see that in context, to appreciate her more fully. And we really appreciated that opportunity. Today, as we sit here, we have a group of kids out at Minto Brown Island Park with one of our educators, learning about ospreys and macroinvertebrates in the Willamette River. I'd like to think she's there with them right now. So we encourage your support of this concurrent Senate resolution, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I am honored to be a co-sponsor with Senator Courtney on this memorial. And I knew both Straubs well. I was a young reporter down here in Salem, and I knew your dad, Chuck. Mm-hmm. And I somehow had the privilege of being included in the wide web of people that Pat welcomed into her home, her farmhouse out in West Salem. I have many good memories. I was out there picking cherries one time. I don't remember any of the context of these things, just the memory. But what I really remember is she was growing alfalfa sprouts. And I said, oh, boy, can I have some of those? She said, no, you're going to learn how to grow your own. And so I learned from Pat Straub how to grow alfalfa sprouts. And I have been an enthusiast for organic foods for most of my life. And I attribute the origins of that to Pat Straub. She was committed, like right down to her bones, a committed environmentalist and conservationist. And I love hearing the story about the lunch table, because that totally makes sense. that's how they were a real partnership. And I still remember when Bob was governor, he would go home for lunch most days. And having visited the farmhouse, I could totally understand why. It kept him grounded, and Pat was a real inspiration and just a strong and warm presence for anyone who had the privilege to be part of that orbit. So thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the committee? Thank you. Okay, Fred.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Again, Fred Neal of the Oregon State Capitol Foundation. As you can see from the testimony you've heard on this, as well as SCR 15, that both first ladies of the state have left a lasting legacy. It's fitting that you honor them this session, and the foundation is pleased to have been playing a role in the drafting of the both of them, and commend them to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Okay, thank you. We will close the public hearing on SCR 16 and open a work session on SCR 16. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move Senate Concurrent Resolution 16 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Senator Farioli, who has moved SCR 16 to the Senate floor with a be adopted recommendation, discussion? Objection. Great. So ordered. I will offer Senator Courtney the opportunity to carry this and perhaps co-carry it with him. So thank you all for coming. This has been a good day. Okay, now we will open a public hearing, or we will resume the public hearing on SCR 17. And we have signed up to testify. The very patient, Jonas Chatterton.
Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. My voice carries anyway, so I will stay away from the microphone. My name is Jonas Chatterton. I'm the associate head coach for the women's basketball team at Oregon State University. And I want to thank you all for acknowledging our team for the past two seasons. It's been an honor and a privilege to represent the state of Oregon on the court and all Oregonians as we've had success over the past two seasons. In the 2015-16 season, we were able to win the Pac-12 regular season as well as the Pac-12 tournament and advanced to the Final Four, eventually losing to UConn in the Final Four. And in this past year, started the year picked fifth in the conference, only to end up winning the conference and then advancing to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament. One of the things that I find and I wanted to discuss that has been overwhelming to me since being at Oregon State is the support that we receive from the community. There's no place like Oregon State in the country and what we have. It's truly a love affair between our fans and the community and our team. The access that our team gives to the community and fans is unheard of, as well as our team going back into the community. And it's truly a love affair. And as we go out into the country and recruit student-athletes and talk to other people throughout the country, there's no place that has that special feeling and draw and connection that we've been able to have at Oregon State over the past few years. We've led the Pac-12 in attendance the last 3 years and as well as led the West Coast in attendance in women's basketball over the past 3 years. One remarkable thing I wanted to talk about this past year, a couple of things, is for the first time in program history, we won at Stanford University, which was going to be the 30th time we played them there, and won that game in double overtime in front of a great crowd there and made some great plays to win it, which led us to the final weekend of the season, and we are hosting Stanford and Cal at our place. Going into the weekend, the game versus Stanford, we were tied in the conference and knew it was going to be a big game. We knew that we would draw a great crowd, but it's truly a remarkable experience to walk out and see 9,604 fans. And if you've been in Gill, to see people underneath the rafters and people lined against the stencil walls at the top of Gill is truly something special. And it's been a vision of our head coach, Scott Rook, since he's taken the job 7 years ago, and the rest of our staff as we've gone through. And so to win that game in thrilling fashion in the last seconds again and inspire people in the community and the children around is truly a special experience. We went on the 2 days later to beat Cal at home and to clinch the Pac-12 conference by ourselves. But I can't testify enough of what a special place Oregon State has become in women's basketball and what those opportunities for our young ladies to move forward has been, and the love affair that we have with our community. I want to thank you for your support and consideration in passing the resolution. I'm not going to be long in my words here, but I would be delighted to answer any questions you guys have.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? All right, thank you very much.
Yes.
Is there anybody else who wants to testify on this? Great. We will close the public hearing on SCR 17 and open a work session on SCR 17. And Cherie, we have a dash one amendment. Can you just briefly describe what that is?
Madam Chair and members, the dash one amendment being offered recognizes and adds references to the achievement and performance of the 2016-2017 OSU women's basketball team. We have the paperwork for that as well for the fiscal and revenue, and those indicate no impact associated with the amendment or the underlying bill.
Okay, thank you. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Concurrent Resolution 17. Madam Chair, it updates the remarkable record of this team with the 2017 accomplishments.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Senator Farioli has moved the dash one amendment to SCR 17. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Farioli.
Madam Chair, I move the Senate concurrent resolution as amended to the floor of the be adopt recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved SCR 17 as amended to the Senate floor with the be adopted recommendation. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. We will ask Senator Gelser to carry this. And that completes our business today, so we are adjourned.